Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin, from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin here, and you are tuning in to 91.5 FM, and you can also, you may be listening on our podcast or webcast on our website here at ourlighthouse.net. So, you know, if you've missed the program and you want to come back, any other shows, you can look them up on ourlighthouse.net. Go to the Turn the Light On tab on the Lighthouse Christian Church website, and boom, there we are. So I love to just reach out to you guys each day of the week, Monday through Friday. We're here on the radio and just talking about Jesus. We're a topical Bible study, and I always like to do it with a guest. And my guest today is Patty Wilson.
Hello.
Great long-time
yeah.
friend. You know, so excited to have you on the program, Patty. You've been jumping in, helping me do a bunch of programs, and we just love having you here. So welcome to the program.
Thanks. I enjoy it. I love it.
Yeah, me too. We've done radio before in the past. We've, you know, just bounced ideas. We've done ministry together. We've been at the same church at the same times for years in the running. And I just want you to know that I really love having you with me here on the program. So
what are you
thinking we should talk about today? I know we like to bring different topics. It's a topical Bible study. What's our topic today?
I think it should be God is no respecter of persons.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. So God is no respecter of persons. So gosh, what does that mean? What do you think? Define that for the listeners in a brief sentence or paragraph or something. Just tell them, what does it mean that God is no respecter of persons?
He loves us all equally. He doesn't think one is any better than the other. One is more special than the other. He sees us all equally. He loves us all equally.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah,
because I know some people give more in the offering plate. they throw a little bit bigger numbers in. They help. Some people serve more. Some people give more. Some people pray more. How do we know that God is equal with all of us?
We have to go to the Word, number one, because God speaks to us through His Word, and He tells us how much He loves us, and He tells us how we're to love others, teaches us how to love others, and He doesn't look at us like we look at ourselves.
Sure.
He doesn't look at others the way we can look at others.
Oh, yeah.
We can look at others, and we judge by outward
appearance
behavior, past history, so on and so forth, but He doesn't look at us that way. He is no respecter of person. He can do the same thing in my life that He can do in your life. And, both of us, we've got a history of drugs and alcohol. And, those type of things. And I know I even judged myself way back then. God couldn't use me because look what I've done. And I couldn't be friends with those women in the church because if they knew what I've done and who I really was, they wouldn't want anything to do with me anyway.
Or I have to paint this fake mask on my face and pretend to be somebody that I'm really not.
Exactly.
I think we see that a lot. You know, we just yesterday were talking about doing it afraid. I think a lot of times we're afraid of what people might think of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea that it doesn't matter what other people think about us. God's thoughts towards us are always for us to prosper, to be in health, to move forward with Him and to experience Him and His grace and His love
and his
power.
Favor.
And His favor. Yeah, such good stuff. But no respecter of persons.
No. And
you know, where's that in the Bible?
Let's look at that.
I want to see that.
Acts 10, okay. And it's when Cornelius is praying, and Cornelius is not a believer. I mean, he is a believer, but technically, you know, he hasn't gotten saved at
this point. He believes in God, the Jewish God, but he hasn't gotten to the Jesus part of it yet.
But he wants to know.
Right.
And he wants to
know. He's hungry.
Yeah. So Cornelius sends for Peter. And in Acts 10, we can read the story, and Peter has a vision. He's hungry. He goes to the rooftop to pray while they're preparing his food, and he has a vision. It says he goes into a trance, but it's really a vision. And God shows him this big white sheet, and this sheet comes down from heaven, and it falls on top of all the creatures of the earth, all different kinds.
Right.
Two-legged, you know, it didn't matter. And he wakes up, and he's like, wow, what, that was weird. Was that you, God? You know, paraphrasing. And God shows him through a chain of events that you can read in Acts 10 that he is no respecter of person. He is also wants Peter to go and reach the Gentiles.
Okay.
So God's plan, his purpose, is just for
Jews. Jesus was Jewish, though. You know what? So this is going to go global.
Exactly. And it's for anybody.
Right.
Anyone who would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is God's going to accept them if they're true in their heart.
Yeah.
You know? And this guy is like, okay, Lord, I don't know. And we can see, I think it's in verse 11, it talks about he's got a little doubt there.
Right.
I don't know, God, if this
you
is
sure, because, you know, I've only gone to the Jews up to this point.
Exactly. And they're the only ones that have received him.
Right.
And accepted him and his disciples. So the next thing you know, these guys come looking for Peter. And these are the ones that Cornelius has sent. And Peter knew when they came that this was God. Okay, this is God.
Sure.
So I'm going to go. Because this
the
confirmation came. And so Peter goes to Cornelius's house, and he's got a whole group of people just waiting there for him. Family, you know, guards, everything. They're all waiting for him, and they're ready. Their hearts are open. They've been believing. And he shares the gospel with them, and they all get saved. But not only do they all get saved, they get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, wow. And so God's basically saying, listen, I'm going to put my spirit in anybody that will call on the name of Jesus.
And they're all sitting there listening. In verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard his message. All the circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and exalting God. Then Peter said, can anyone withhold the water baptism from these people?
Nope.
They received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they all be baptized in the name of Jesus.
I love that, because now we're seeing Gentiles receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and then being baptized as well. And that kind of answers a question, can you receive the Holy Spirit before you're water baptized? So I think that
answered that, right?
Answered that question. The answer is yes.
Yes.
Definitely. But, you know, I love the idea that the Gentiles, the gospel is now open to all of them. And, you know, when God told Abraham he was going to make his descendants like the sand of the sea, you know, I think that that's what he was talking about, that Jesus was going to bridge the gap between, you know, the Jews, God's chosen people, and the church, you know, the Gentiles and every nation, every tribe, every tongue. God was in Christ going to gather anyone who would call on the name of the Lord Jesus into the kingdom of God.
What a beautiful picture.
And that's
picture.
What the scripture describes as a spirit of adoption. You know, we weren't, you know, I don't believe in replacement theology. We haven't replaced the Jews as God's chosen people. I don't believe that.
I don't either.
They were God's chosen people, and they always will be, you know, and God loves the Jewish community. He loves Israel. It's his home. It's his country. It's his homeland. That's where God, you know, dwells. But I do believe that we have been grafted in.
Amen.
As Gentiles into God's family. And that is a powerful thing when you think about it, because God could have said, no, the Jews are my people. The rest of you, I'm sorry, but it's not going to work.
That's right. Yeah. And you think today, look at us today, how many people, I know when I first got saved, I had people that were sharing with me in my life that were like, oh, those Baptists, man. Don't talk. Don't hang out with them. Don't talk to those people.
You can't dance over there.
Yeah. And you've got Catholic and Lutheran and Presbyterian and all those different denominations. Well, we're all one in Christ.
We're the church.
Yeah. Not to say everybody believes exactly alike, but if they believe the same sound doctrine, you know, and that.
Well, there's absolutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And then there's preferences. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. But I really thought these people were lost, man.
Right.
And then later on, you start to meet the Baptists and that, and they have a firm foundation. They're getting a lot of people saved.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, I mean, I think that that God is not a respecter of denominational lines.
That's it.
You know, he's not a respecter of Catholics, Baptists, Charismatics, non-denominations, Presbyterian, mm-hmm. all that. You know, when you get to heaven, there's going to be none of that.
That's right.
None of that. It's all going to be believers.
Exactly.
So do you believe in Jesus? Then, hey, you know what? We need to find common ground, and we need to realize that if God's not going to draw lines, why would we draw lines and not work together as a team for the furtherance of the gospel into the world?
Yeah.
You know, I love that God is not a respecter of persons, and, you know, sometimes we think, oh, there's religious people, right? And I look at Nicodemus in the Bible. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he says, "What must I do?" And he says, "You must be born again." And he says, "Am I to go again into my mother's womb?" No. It's a spiritual birth that needs to take place in you. And, you know, as I was watching on The Chosen, I thought they did such a good job of putting Nicodemus' character in reference with Jesus, and he was meeting with him by night secretly because he had that thing we were talking about yesterday, the fear of man, and he was struggling to get things going that way, but he knew deep down inside that Jesus wasn't judging him. Even in his religion, he was looking at him and saying, "I will make you a disciple today." And I saw in that episode of The Chosen, when Nicodemus didn't go with them after Jesus had offered him that discipleship, and he had the fear of man, and he gave it up. He didn't go.
That's sad.
And he's crying at the end of the episode, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm crying too, you know, because I'm like, Jesus wants each and every one of us, guys, those of you who are listening today, he wants each and every one of us to know that he is not looking at your past. He's not looking at what you do. You know, he's not looking at anything in your life except for, have you accepted the gift of my son? And in doing that, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. He's going to welcome you into his kingdom. He's going to give you eternal life, and you're going to experience some of the greatest blessings that you've ever seen. Amen. You know, because how do we say that? It's because God looks at the heart.
He does. He looks at the heart, and we believe with our hearts. And it's like, what are the works that God's called us to? I thought of John when you were talking. He says the works is that we believe.
Right.
You know, believe it doesn't say how many ministries you serve in, how long you've been at the church, how much you give in your tithes and your offerings.
Right.
It's all about you believe.
Right.
And once we believe, God begins to change us and work on the inside of us, no matter how unlovely we may have been.
Sure.
And he begins to clean us up. All those things on the inside of us, all the junk and stuff, he begins to heal. He begins to clean that. And then when we look at others, we may see people that we consider as unlovely, as unclean, just as Peter did. And
that's
you know,
so good.
Yeah. And so it's not about the outward appearance.
Right.
It's like you said, Jesus looks at the inward man, and he cleans us up and he heals us. And then he wants to do that to others. And we're his instrument. He uses us. So who's the unlovely that you might be looking at, and you might be judging, and you might be saying, God, I'm not going to speak to that person. I'm not going to go over there. Look at them. How could you ever use them?
Right.
And why would I think of, gosh, I haven't thought of this in years. One of my Bible studies, when I was teaching Bible study years ago, a lady had come in and sat all the way in the back, and I could tell that she was just a homeless woman.
Right.
I'd seen her out walking on the street before and stuff, and she came in and sat in the back, and it was really hot outside, so I was thinking, I know she's here just to get cooled off.
Air conditioning.
Yeah, and to rest. And so she sat behind all the other women. They never saw her come in. And as I was up there teaching, I heard the Lord say, I want you to go back there and get her and bring her up on the front row, because I want to give her a place of honor in this place. And I thought, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it came to me again. So I did. I stepped to the back. I just kept talking to the ladies. They had no idea where I was going. And I walked back there and I took her by the hand and I said, listen, Jesus just spoke to my heart. And he said, he wants you to come on up on the front row. He wants to give you a place of honor in this meeting today. And I can't remember everything else I said.
Right.
And some of the women were like weeping, like, oh, that's so awesome. Some of them were looking at me like,
who's this
what?
Lady? Why are they putting her on the front row?
Yeah, are you
I should be on the front row.
Yeah, that turned out to be one of the most powerful meetings I've ever had. I mean, by the time it was all over and said and done, there were just women laid out all over the floor.
Right,
and this
right.
woman was one of them.
Wow.
And God saved
wrecked.
Her. Oh, my gosh. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues. I didn't even teach about that. I mean, that was the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, she was one of the unlovely, one of the people that you would think, whew, she doesn't belong here. But I believe in their scripture that talks about, you know, go out and get those, what was it, a banquet
wedding.
Or
yeah,
the
wedding.
Banquet?
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's like, we'll go to the highways and the byways and bring them in.
Bring them in, yeah.
We're going to celebrate, you know, if the people that were invited won't come, which, you know, was pointing towards the Jewish community with the gospel, you know, then go out into the highways, go to the Gentiles, pull them in and let them partake and take part in what God's doing, you know, and salvation is, you know, for everyone now.
It is, yeah.
There is no respecter of persons, you know, when it comes to God.
Yep.
He's looking at, will you receive the gift of my son?
Amen.
Plain and simple. Yep. Will you accept Jesus Christ into your life today?
Amen.
That is the only qualification.
Right where you're at.
Right where you're
at. He gave her a seat of honor.
Change what you're doing first. You know, I've always wondered why, you know, I minister to people and they're like, yeah, I'm going to come. I'm going to come to church. I just got to get quit drinking. I got to quit doing this. I got to quit doing that. You know, I just got to get my act together a little bit. And I'm like, no, you don't understand, you know, who Jesus is.
That's it.
He gets you cleaned up. He brings you to those places, but you got to come to him first. Come as you are.
Exactly. Come as you are.
Yeah.
I know there was a man one time, God was, I was at a women's conference on the beach, but I was all by myself. Somebody had gotten me a hotel room on the beach, and I looked out the window one day. I was there praying, and I saw this guy out there walking around the water, long ponytail, covered in tattoos and everything, and I felt like the Lord said, go tell him I love him. And I was like, what? You know, are you kidding?
Wow.
No way. And I heard him say again, I want you to just go tell him that I love him. And I thought, well, I don't know about it. I'm here all by myself, Lord. I'm a woman alone. This guy, you know. So later on, I didn't see him when I looked out the last time. So I went down to sit on the beach and pray for a while. And I sat down and I looked over and there he was. And I was like, oh, Lord.
Another setup from
the
Lord.
Well, he saw me too. So he literally turned his chair to face me. And he's sitting there staring at me. And I was so uncomfortable. And I'm hearing the Lord say, just go tell him I love him. And so I got up and I started to walk towards him. And then I went right into the hotel. I didn't do it because it was so intimidating.
You got to do it afraid.
Exactly. And so I went to the women's meeting that night, and one of the pastor's wives gets up and shares her testimony. And the first thing out of her mouth is, I was just walking in the mall one day, and this person came up to me and just told me Jesus loved me and changed my life. I was like, oh. I mean, that was just like the Holy Spirit just digging in me with his thumb.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And so I said, okay, God, if he's out there in the morning, I'll go tell him. Sure enough, he was out there first thing in the morning. So I had to do it. I went out there and walked up to him, and he saw me coming, and he was like, oh, here she comes. And, you know, I walked over. I didn't know what to say outside. I'm thinking, this sounds stupid.
Yeah, right.
But I went over, and I said, hi, I saw you out here yesterday. And he says, yeah, I saw you too. And I said, well,
hubba,
Jesus.
Hubba.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, well, Jesus just told me to come and tell you that he loves you. And that's all I have is just Jesus said to tell you he loves you. And he began to weep. Here, this rough biker dude, you know, starts to weep. And he said, you know, I think I know he loves me, but I think he's really disappointed in me. And he began to share, you know, that he'd gotten saved years ago. And then he goes into, you know, sharing about his parents, you know, getting ready to die.
Kind of got off the trail.
Yeah. And so he came back to the Lord, and I was trying to lead him into getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And I kept going off into my testimony about being a crack addict. And he kept saying, no, no, not me, not me. And so I'd talk about something else, and then I kept going back there. Finally, he threw his hands up. He said, okay, that's it. He said, I come to Cocoa Beach. I'm a truck driver. I come all the time. And he said, I can always call a taxi cab and they'll take me right to get some crack. And he said, I drove all night or last night all around Cocoa Beach. He said, every door was shut. I could not find any crack. I was wondering what was going on. And I said, well, I was sitting in my hotel room praying for you all night long. Yeah. And boy, I'll tell you, then he got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
Rededicated his life to the Lord. But see, I was judging by the outward appearance and looking at myself. I don't think I was so much, well, I guess I was afraid. I was afraid, fear of man. Like you said, I'm looking at the outward as, you know, I'm a woman here alone on the beach, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, but the way God moved was incredible. I'd have missed that opportunity. So we can't look at, God's no respecter of person. He loves us all.
You know, what I see in that guy is that he just, you know, he connected with God, but then he got disconnected, you know, and I just want people that are out there today listening to the program to hear this. Maybe you're disconnected right now, and maybe you feel like you deserve for God to not be in your life, and you deserve to for God to abandon you because you had him or didn't do what you were supposed to do for the Lord, and you've gotten off that trail. But I want to tell you that God's ready to reach out to you today. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you haven't done. It doesn't matter, you know, what you where you've been or where you haven't been. He is no respecter of persons. He is ready to meet you with love and grace and forgiveness right where you're at today.
Right where you're at.
Right where you're at. And, you know, I think our biggest enemy is ourselves. You know, we put this block in front of us saying, God will never do this. God will never do that. Or why would he do it for me? I've done this. I've done that. But I'm here today to tell you that God is not a respecter of persons.
That's right.
Whatever it is you've done, God is able to look past it, through it, and get you, you know, to where you need to be if you will simply surrender. Throw the white flag up. Say, God, I need you. I need you in my life, and I surrender it to you. I know that God looks at the heart, and that's all he's looking for in your heart is for you to say, I need you, Jesus, in my life.
Amen. And God's a restorer.
He is.
You know, he's a restorer of the breach, whatever that break is, whatever that fracture is in your life.
Yeah.
You know, he's still there. He still loves you. So just as Kevin said, cry out, ask him. You know, Lord, come into my heart afresh and anew today. And when you do, he comes.
Right.
He's faithful. He'll come and he'll continue that work he's begun. He says he'll be faithful to complete that work that he's begun. Yeah. No
he
matter
commended
what
his love towards us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he already knew that you needed him and he still knows that you need him. So call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Amen.
Amen.
So we're gonna take a quick break here at Turn the Light On and just want to thank our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321
321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. I just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. Oh, I just know Jesus is my joy. Love rock music? Love Jesus? We got the place for you. Join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life or call 321-749-7234. The venue is located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the program. We want to just say thanks to all of our sponsors. Patty, we've been talking about God being no respecter of persons. You know, we've hit everything from, just Nicodemus. You talked about Peter and the story of him with the Gentiles. And, we are just really trying to paint a picture that, listen, God is not looking at what you do, who you've been in the past, what your life has produced. He is looking at your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, he looks at the heart and he wants people who are willing to just jump in and say, God, I need you in my life. I want you in my life. So, you know, let's try to wrap this up a little bit, Patty. Mm-hmm. What do you got for us?
I think each one of us is born with a purpose, right? Yes. And a call on our lives. And it doesn't matter where we've been, what we've done, whether we've been a prostitute, whether we've been a drug dealer or drug addict, you know, beggar. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Or a snobby rich guy.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, for real.
Right? And we know that they can be the hardest to witness to because mm-hmm. they have everything. They really don't have need in their life. Those kind of people are really tough to get through to because there's no desperate need there. I was even thinking about the crippled beggar who sat outside the gate beautiful. And I'm going to share just a little bit of that scripture. It's Acts 3, verse 4. Peter encounters him, and he's begging for money, and he says, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you. Yeah. And so he looks straight at him, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and his ankles became strong, and he began to walk. Isn't that amazing?
Sure.
No respecter of person. They didn't care what he looked like, that he was sitting there on the street begging for alms. We have what you need.
Yeah.
And so then what was really cool is then they go out into the gate beautiful, and this guy's jumping and leaping and dancing, and people
are
recognize
like, I know him.
Yeah,
it's the crippled guy.
And so it's a witness. It's a testimony of God's love for this man, where many others probably just walk past him every day on their way doing their business, you know, just disregarding him. But Jesus didn't disregard him. He loved him.
Yeah, I agree. So listen, God is no respecter of persons, so we need to be the same way. We don't need to look at people based on what they do, or we need to look at them as God loves them and approach them the same way God would. Hey guys, we hope you enjoyed the program. We'll see you next time on Turn the Light On.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.